This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to That Mill Podcast. My name's Omar. Joining me today, we've got Greedy. Benjamin, hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, all right. Not too bad. How are you?
I'm all right. We're going to relive Monday, surely, and talk about that horror defeat at Rotherham. Amongst other bits, including, obviously, looking to head to Saturday's game at the Galph Farm or the John Smith or whatever it's called nowadays. Do you know what it's called? I'd like to put people to
spot it. John Smith? No, I'll go with John Smith.
I think it's John Smith. I still call it the Galph Farm. Huddersfield, obviously, we'll go until on Saturday. We're also going to be looking at our fixtures, talking about, you know, key standout performances from Monday and anyone that we think's, you know, really under scrutiny from fans at the moment. So, I mean, Ben, mate, we'll go straight into it and talk about Monday, a 2-1 defeat at Rotherham. We'll go down to lose to bottom of the league. Mate, I mean, what's your initial thoughts, obviously, after that game was on Monday, mate?
Well, if anyone thought we were going down there and winning, being a Millwall fan, then are you really a Millwall fan? Going away from home to a side that had only won 3 times this season, had the lowest goal scoring record, the highest goals conceded. I mean, yeah, just typical us, isn't it, mate, really, to be perfectly honest. I thought, like, it was a game. Well, I say we went down and did we see anything other than the result that happened, but I actually did think we'd win. I just thought we'd put in such strong performances recently. I thought Harris would have us bang up for it. I did think we'd come away with 3 points, and I did think then we were pretty much going to be all but safe. Yeah, 2 shocking goals that we conceded, a whole host of chances that we missed, and we come away with square root of fuck all, and we're right back in the relegation fight again. But yeah, just thoroughly disappointed, mate, really.
Look, I think obviously we're both up there along with a couple of pals and stuff, and it was all the same, wasn't it? Pre-game, we're like, right, come on, like, we should win today, we should batter these, we get an early goal. We're at the ground and then they'll start to creep in, don't they? I think you said to me as we went up the stairs, like, fuck me, I'm nervous now. And it's true, like, no one expected them to get a result, but being milled where we are and how it always pans out, especially after that draw on Friday against West Brom, I felt like I had a bit more pressure in there. It was like, kind of, right, here we go. Can we, with the onus on us, get the result? And obviously, we'll talk about the team, obviously, he put out there, mate, but there was 2 changes. The Law was in for Mitchell. Murray Wallace was in for the injured Joe Bryan. Felt like pre-game, obviously, I felt like Norm inside, we're going to try to keep hold of the ball, mate. But, I mean, you looked at that first half as a whole and, fuck me, it was anything but, wasn't it? And it's kind of playing at their own game, I felt like.
Yeah, I mean, we all said Casper obviously was coming in because we thought we were going to have more possession. He might be that player to unlock the door for us, a bit more technical ability in the middle of the park. I know we're going to his performance in a little bit more detail soon, but yeah, it was anything but that again. It was scrappy. I feel like at the minute, the kind of the mantra or the direction is for first half to keep it tight, which is absolutely fine. Stay in the game and come on strong in the second half. But yeah, as you said, mate, we just really played into their hands. It was a scrappy game. We just briefly caught up before we come on and started recording. There was only 2 chances and they both fell to us. They didn't create anything. But yeah, it really did. We did just play into their hands. There was no composure on the ball. It was just scrappy. It was just a bad first half performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think them two chances, obviously, one was Fleming's, wasn't it?
One was Fleming's. Looking back, could have been a penalty to Obafemi. It would have been soft, but he actually did really well to keep control of it in a tight, obviously, in the 18-yard box. Yep. And then he lays it off to Casper. Casper lays it off to Fleming, and Gordon Banks makes an unbelievable save. again,
you're right, mate. That keeper was outrageous, wasn't it?
But, this ridiculous performance. He actually nearly saves Longman's goal as well, which is mad. he did well. Probably the only good thing that Casper did all game. It's a decent effort, good save. And then the second chance, I actually think, is probably worse from Coops. And it probably just summarises the season in front of goal, to be honest, or his lack of goals this year. Again, Obafemi does great, knocks a very decent ball in. Cooper gets up in front of the defender. And if he gets it on target, it's probably a goal. Well, actually, we wouldn't know with Gordon Banks in goal. But it's actually quite a bad miss for Coops, I would say. I think he'd be pretty disappointed with that. But that they were the only two chances that we created and that they created in that first half.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think I also see the only other talking point. Murray Waters came in, got a concussion or whiplash, I think it was kind of reported at the end of the game. I think whiplash, apparently. So obviously he had a bit of a coming together, didn't he, with Rotherham attacker about 20 minutes into the half. Danny Mack comes in, obviously, a right back at left back. He's played it, obviously, since Harris came in a few games. So not unbeknown to Danny Mack anyway. But obviously, I feel like that did have an impact a little bit. And I think Harris said that after his game, didn't he? But having a right back at left back, kind of trust the batteries.
I actually disagreed with that, because I thought Danny did really well. I thought he got up the pitch really well. I think he forced a couple of corners in the second half.
He even had a shot on goal at one point in the second half as well, didn't he?
Did. Actually, from their goal, the first goal, he did really well because he was quite hard at the pitch and he actually got back and stopped the forward sort of getting a shot in. I thought Danny Mack had one of his better games. I really did. I thought he was probably one of the few players that came away with any sort of credit. As you say, playing out of position, playing left back. I thought Danny did really well.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Obviously, I'm Danny Mann's fan club anyway, so I'm not going to disrupt you for that one. So there we go. 0-0 half-time, mate. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. I think you said it half-time on Monday as well. It's like, I think we're still playing just to be in this game and go for it second half. Puts a bit more pressure on us, I suppose, second half, but we're still in the game. And I think we both say to each other, like, surely we'll get out of the second half and kind of take the game to them. And I think, to be fair to us, we did. Like, I look back on the statistics from that game. I look back as a whole how it went and as such. And albeit we've lost the game 2-1, that second half, the opportunities we had, mate, we should have and could have prior to them going 1-0 up. I think, obviously, Fleming had a header at the back post saved by Gordon Banks, as we're calling him now.
Yeah.
I think Tanganga had that header, obviously, that we'll talk about. Yeah. You know, that was obviously straight on goal from a set piece. Fleming had another opportunity from another set piece, this time from the other side, and kind of hooked his right foot at it and keeper made another save. Like, there was opportunities there, and we kind of came out and got a bit more sort of on the game. De Noor got more on the ball, to be fair to him, but, you know, obviously we'll talk about him shortly. But we'll go 1-0 down, mate, and what a shit goal to give away as well, mate, down the flank and just an easy shot from range.
Horrendous. But yeah, as you say, just going up to the chances sort of prior to the goal. Yeah, everything you just said there, Fleming had a good chance from the first corner in the second half. Let's just quickly go on or stay on Tanganga's one. I've watched it back a couple of times now. It is shocking. He's alone about 3 yards out. And if it goes anywhere else apart from where he heads it, it's a goal. And at that point, you've probably got to say, us going 1-0 up, it's a completely different game. They're staring down the barrel of being relegated on Monday. They've got to come at us. It just changes the whole complexion of the game and probably just sums up our whole season, to be perfectly honest. Tanganga has been superb for us in recent weeks, and it was probably his worst performance in recent weeks. He's got to score that. And then, as you say, Rotherham had a chance before they scored from the corner. Yeah. They were right under the bar, and again, he should probably score. I don't know who it was who won their centre-halves, but yeah, the goal, we were actually on the front foot. We didn't win the first knockdown. We didn't win the second knockdown. Tom Eaves turned into prime fucking Didier Drogba in terms of how he was holding the ball up. Everything came through him. So we're playing against Gordon Banks and Didier Drogba. So, yeah, what chance we got. But yeah, then as I say, Danny Mac was half the pitch, did really well to get back and stop the, I think it was a centre forward or the winger, sort of getting an early shot in or an early cross. And then it goes out to a geezer that they said on commentary it was his first senior goal. And we've just, Tanganga's not got out quick enough for him at all. He's just stood there and let him get a shot away. There was people, I think you might have been one as well, I would just say maybe harsh on Sarkic looking back on it. It was, it actually went over Tom Meade's head and he tried to flick it. So it might have been on him. I don't think he had much chance of it, to be perfectly honest. But at the time, it looked like he could have done better. But yeah, Tanganga's just got to get out quicker. He's just got to just shut that space down. Don't let him get that free shot off. He has, and obviously the geezer who's never scored before has found the bottom corner. So
I didn't know it was his first goal as well, actually. I know you said you watched the highlights back as well, because obviously he was there Monday and stuff, but I didn't know it was his first goal for the club, first professional goal, actually. I mean, look, it was a good strike. I didn't at the time initially think it's a long-range shot. If Cyprus had an eye of it, he should be getting there. Like, I've put the argument that if Mark Bukowski was in goal 2 years ago, he would have saved that. That's like the kind of barometer I'd judge it on, because he's a shot stopper. And Sarkic, I suppose, is a topic for another day, but I'm not overly having him at the moment either, to be honest. But there's time for him to grow into that position. So that's a topic for another day, because there's a couple of players we'll talk about in a minute. But obviously, shit goal to give away. I agree with you, mate. You're right. I think we had that header was Tanganga's goal. You're right. You mentioned that. And obviously, as he got his goal, he's obviously a chance. And it was anywhere, if you just put it down the corner, like obviously it was right in front of us, just aim it for the front of the corner. He had all the time in the world, looked at it, saw it come to
him. No one was even marking him.
Yeah, he lost his man at the. Yeah, the ball just fell to him. And it was exactly similar to the goal we scored against Birmingham, to be fair to him. So, you know, there you go. You get them sometimes, you don't. Suppose we rode our luck in some games and, you know, Monday came and caught up with us. But yeah, the goal was shit to give away. And we get back in it. He's made a couple of subs. Longman comes on. Adam Mayer comes on. And obviously, Longman gets the goal from a Fleming long throw, if I'm not mistaken, mate. I'm pretty sure at one point before that, I remember someone next to me, you, Gary. Why the fuck is he taking long throws? We don't score from the ball.
Well, all of our chances, the two in the first half came from such a Fleming initial throw, and we'd got, like, we'd won the knockdown or
something. Afterwards.
I want to call it. But I think that just before the goal, I think, again, Zorba Femi had that chance. Watching that back, it doesn't react quick enough. I don't know if he thinks he's offside.
I think he was offside. I thought that as well. It was a long throw, wasn't it?
Yeah, again, it was a long throw, flicked on, and it just fell to him. I think in real time, I thought, it's got to be offside. And even watching it on highlight, I kind of forgot about the chance.
Yeah.
It looked offside. But he just didn't, again, react quick enough. But still, he's sort of 3-4 yards out the time he gets any contact on it. And fucking Gordon Bank made an unbelievable save, isn't he? So, again, mate, it was just, typical. As I say, then we do get back in it. Coops's effort looked like, again, might have just been the camera angle, but it looked like it could have been fine in the bottom corner anyway. It hits Obafemi, obviously spins off, and then Longman stabs it in, and Johansson nearly saved it, which is mad. It got, spins up in the air, and he just, he did so well to even get a hand on it. Get back into the game. And at that point, it was just, if we carry on doing what we're doing, we're going to go on and win this. Obviously, that didn't happen. Tom Eaves, again, the ball gets played up to him. He holds the ball up so well. Does, honestly, unbelievable just to get other players into play. He goes out wide. Might have been a little bit of an element of a foul on Tanganga. You look it back again, that sort of angle from behind the goal. It looks like the centre forward's took both hands on him. He's pushed him. It's either a great centre forward play, obviously, which it was because it wasn't disallowed, or it could have been a foul. If it was the Premier League, they might have had a look at it. But finds the bottom corner, and that was it then, wasn't it? We were never going to get back into it. It was all huff and puff. There was a lot of pressure from us, but we didn't really create too much. Mayer looked quite good down the left-hand side.
Take his man enough for me, Mayer. Didn't take his man enough. Like, I kept saying, take him on as a wing.
On a corner. I thought he did.
No, a couple of times, but I want to see more of that. It was good to see him obviously get a chance to play and stuff. And I think he brought an essay towards the end of the game as well and kind of threw the kitchen sink here, didn't he? Obviously, after went 2-1 down. I mean, Johansson obviously was man of the match by a country mile, wasn't he, for them? I mean, you mentioned the other Femi chance as well. Like, the way he even got up and, like, kind of stopped him from getting it goal-bounding. Yeah, exactly. And tough one to take, mate, because obviously after the game, we walk out and we'll fucking fuming about it. And I'm still fuming about it now, to be honest. You've lost the team bottom of the league, and They've won three games all year prior to Monday. But in a weird way, I felt like it's a kind of, if you believe in football karma, where you ride your luck in games like Birmingham game, Watford game, couple games where, you know, you have them moments where, like, you ride your luck, the other team might be better than you. But Monday kind of caught back up with us, it felt like. And that second half, albeit mostly from set plays, we should have and could have probably walked away with three or four goals on Monday, isn't it? And I suppose that's the moral of the story a little bit, I suppose. But at the same time, they're fucking dog shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, Tom Ease, mate, like, he's making...
As I say, we made him look like prime fucking Drogba, by the way. He was holding it up.
Hitting players, like, and I thought Tanguy had a good game aside from the two moments where he ultimately conceded two goals. So it's hard to criticise him, but we'll talk about Jake Cooper first, I suppose, because I felt
just one step back, just out in the game very, very quickly, mate. And it was just something that, again, I did my usual, pissed off after the game. I was probably quite harsh in terms of it was all that we created. Look, the amount of chances we did create, we should have won the game. There is no disputing that. The chances were as good as you're going to get in any game. But my concern with it was, and my frustration was, we're playing against a side that have conceded 81 goals or 80 at the time, and we didn't create a chance from open play. You could argue second phases of set pieces. Yeah, I get that. We've kept it alive and recycled it. But ultimately, they've come from a set piece or a throw-in that we've kept alive.
Yeah.
Didn't create anything from open play. Actually, probably one, which was the Fleming chance in the first half. But that was the only one. That was a shot from outside the box. So I know, that Jay covered on the post-match live. We're just struggling at the minute, it seems. Like, we can't rely on set pieces or penalties or whatever it's going to be to keep us up. And that's just my concern at the minute.
Yeah, you're right to mention that. Yeah, I was about to mention that because it did feel like the only thing we're playing for was set pieces. But on another day, we win that 3-4-1. So I totally get the point. I think both see us... Harris has jumped into them. We need to be short of set pieces and try win set pieces and play to our advantage. And I think it neatly brings me on to Jake Cooper because he's not scored a single goal this season. If I'm not mistaken, that is the first time so far this, like, if it finishes the season this way, first season he's not scored a goal. I felt defensively, he made Tom Ease look, like you say, prime Drogba. I've kind of took the point on that on Twitter when I was at home Monday night. I couldn't sleep after getting back, driving there and back, fucking fuming, sitting there. I'm like, I think this is his worst season in a Millwall shirt, Jake Cooper. And he's obviously the captain at the moment because Hutchinson's outside, back to fitness now, but on the bench. If we've always said a couple of times, it feels like a burden gets to him at times as such as well. I don't know what's gone wrong there, but we've backed him in last summer with a long-term contract, Cooper, and I feel like he's starting to stagnate a bit and early signs of perhaps having his day. I don't know. I don't know what you think about that, but it's just obviously... The goals, like, they're kind of carbon copies where they're down the flank. He's chasing the ball a bit, gets dragged out of position, and then...
How many times have we said about that goal? You highlighted it Monday and said, if Rotherham have exploited that, getting down his left-hand side where he's turning and in positions he doesn't want to be, the top clubs are going to be doing it and teams are going to do it for the rest of the year. They've been doing it all season anyway. He just, gets into those positions too often. I don't know if it's the pressing from the midfield. So we let players get into that sort of channel, whether we're playing too high up the pitch. In that case, Danny Max sort of leaving them exposed, or Joe Bryan or whatever it is. But he seems to be on that one-on-one half-turn position far too often for me. And that's a strong point. He's not quick. Against his quick centre-forward, he's always going to struggle, right? But yeah, I mean, look, goal return, like you said, it's got to be the first time for the club, hasn't it? Since he's he hasn't scored.
Well, I haven't factored it, but he always pops up on goal, Cooper, because that's the joke, isn't he? 1-0 Cooper, or put a bet on Cooper to score. And I've been saying it since Harris came back in, and he's having the opportunity as well now to score. And but I could forgive it for his performances if he's got six goals this season that have won us games. You go, look, that's why he's in the side. You can suck that up. And that's kind of what we've done, I feel like, in recent years. But he's getting more and more found out. And it's like, it's almost like, because the whole thing is, like, Cooper's one of my more valuable players in recent years. Him, Jed Wallace, obviously when Wallace was around and such. But I look at him now, Cooper, and I still kind of think this. If it was any other Championship club, he wouldn't get a game for them. I think it's because it's Millwall.
Just about to use an example, man. That's one that I use for all of our players. Would they get in any other side? And even, do you know what? You look at Rotherham's, they had two sort of, again, athletic centre-half types.
Yeah, he sees us to the ground. That's why it's been so mutually beneficial. But now we've backed him for a long-term deal again. And he's not delivering that anymore at the moment. It's like he's short of confidence, that's for sure. But like he needs to get that back. And he's buzzing that Harris is back. He's had interviews with him and stuff. But it's like it's you know, it's just kind of what's going on there, really.
Yeah, I mean, look, a little bit of sympathy with him. He under Edwards, he obviously did things he didn't want to do and couldn't do. So that might have messed with his brain a bit. But yeah, I totally agree, mate. I think I don't want to keep talking about it because one, we don't know where we're going to be, and two, I'm sure we'll do a very detailed show on it. But the summer is a huge, huge summer for us. There's so many players that I feel should be moved on, are coming to the end of their cycle, should be moved on, and are just naturally going to leave. I'm concerned about that. But as I say, we'll probably do a much more detailed show on it. But yeah, look, if we were offered $1 million, $2 million for him, I'd probably be looking at cashing in. I don't want that just to sound like a reaction from Monday and we're pinning it all on Jade Cooper because we're not. But I'm probably more in the camp with you, mate, where I feel like now he's just maybe stagnating a bit. And does he get in any other championship side? Does he improve us as a team? Look, he's been an unbelievable servant, but it's all about looking forward. We've always got to look at what's next. Would there be a case of an untried championship player in Alex Mitchell coming in? He's done great for Lincoln, by all accounts, or from what we're hearing. So is that an actual replacement? They're question marks for me, put it that way.
I agree. And I think also, like, it is circumstantial. We have more the ball second half, so naturally we're further up the field, and then he's then in them situations he doesn't want to be in. Yeah. So it highlights it. And like I said, like, the perks to Cooper is he's ever consistency in the sense of he's fit every game and plays the and all them runs and scoring goals from set pieces, and that's just gone at the moment. So hopefully that comes back soon. I'll keep backing it. I might back it again on Saturday at Huddersfield, but that's besides the point. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, hopefully he comes back to form, but it's just early signs are starting to be a bit questionable about him. So hopefully he plays through that. And obviously one other player I want to talk about before we move on from this game is Casper De Noor. And I've mentioned it on a few lives before, get batterings in the comments section from it. And I've mentioned it on Twitter again the other night. I haven't actually had time to prep it because I know everyone's going to get on the screen. But I don't get the fuss of Casper De Noor. I can tell he's a good footballer. And I don't dispute any of that. This is what I always say, and I caveat it. I said it in the same tweet the other day. He's a decent player. He's a good ball-playing midfielder. But I don't get the argument of him being our most valuable standout key player to the side. And a lot of fans think it, and they did under Edwards too, and I know Edwards loved him as well, and he always highly spoke of him. And Harrick has done the same thing since he came in, albeit not started him, but he got his opportunity Monday, mate, and we spoke about that first half in particular. There was about four or five occasions in the first 25, 30 minutes where he gave the ball away constantly, and it looked like the pressure was almost getting to him a little bit, it felt like, or there was a couple of situations where, I think you said to me, you know, he sees the ball and it's a shocking pass thing from Murray Wallace at the time, but it was so poor from De Noor in that first half of Monday, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, again, I want to talk about this in probably two separate sections. There's the Casper De Noor as a player across the season. There's the Casper De Noor that we saw on Monday.
Yeah.
Over the Monday one first. He's been out the side. He probably isn't, say, match fit. He's obviously fit, but do you know what I mean? A bit of match rustiness, that actual game. I'm sure he's doing a lot in training, but maybe a little bit of match rustiness. But yeah, he wasn't good. He didn't influence the game. We think of him, or we thought he was coming into the side because we're going to have more of the ball and he's going to be that player to tick it over. And do you know, like, it's going to sound mental. We know, like, Ryan Woods would get it and he'd just always demand the ball, get in that centre circle. And he'd always get it off the centre half and he'd make that pass. He wasn't fantastic, but he was that sort of link-type player. I think of Casper to be like that, but he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And then I just looked at his stats there. How many goals or assists he got this year?
Zero, one each. Go on.
He's got one assist.
Yeah.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
There you go.
The creative player that we seem to have, but he hasn't created anything. He hasn't. I know, obviously that's not his job, I get it, but he got a lot of the ball in the Joe Edwards era. I know he was out for a spell. He hasn't scored yet for the club. It sounds like we're just battering the players, but it wasn't his best performance on Monday. I'll be the first to tell you that. Is he our most valuable asset? Dan and Joe, turn off now if you're listening, but I'm struggling to see it. Is he just a glorified Billy Mitchell because his name's Casper Dunor?
I love that one, mate. Yeah, I mean, look.
We batter Billy for not getting a goal and assist, and Casper's not doing it, so...
Man, I think, and obviously, like this, getting all the arguments back is circumstantial. If he's in a better footman inside, we'll see a better player. We said the same about Ryan Woods, and he's gone off elsewhere. He's played at Stoke previously. I've not seen it. He doesn't strike me as a player that's throw himself into 50-50s or anything like that. Not that that's a crucial part of it, but he's not the all round midfielder. He's a ball playing midfielder in a side that plays 4-4-2 and typically goes over his head. So he's obviously out of place, which is why Harris didn't start him initially in his first few games. And I get all the arguments back, but if he was that much of a key player for us, Harris would find a way to get him in his side, I feel like. And he's not doing it for me. It doesn't mean I think he's a shit player, because I don't, but I just don't see the hype where everyone's like, he's the world beater we need and he's all this. Fleming, to me, is a more valuable asset compared to the two of them. Yeah. And there's a toss-up between them. But people would argue at different points in the season gone by, like, that the more is that asset. But I don't see it. And I mean, honestly, I think he's a good player, no doubt. But I question his long-term future, because if Harry is still in next season, I can't see the North sticking around. And I don't blame the North for going if that's the case. But you look at him on Monday, it's just obviously we're talking about the game. Yeah, then chances or, you know, times where he gave the ball away. Second half, he got the ball a bit more, but he still wasn't, to me, the beating heart of that side.
Yeah, it wasn't like, again, what you want from that sort of type of player is he's unlocking the door, he's rolling it in between the fullbacks, he's getting Danny Mack or Lorne Cuffey in the second half down in those spaces to get balls in the box. Has he made one? I couldn't remember him making one of those sort of passes. I'm not being funny. It was something that me or you could do. Stand there, just knocking it sideways 5 yards. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't.
And we had a lot of that chance, like the most opportunity.
Yeah, certainly when we went 2-1 down, we were just camped on the edge of their box. I get them; they're just playing 10 behind the ball. There's not much space. But can he unlock something? Like that's what I think we think we've got. But I think if it was Billy Dunor, we'd probably be worried about Billy. Or do you know what I mean? It's probably like what I said about Fleming, right? I wanted more from him. He's our best player. I wanted to carry us through games. And again, I fully understand and get your point, mate, of saying, yeah, look, the ball's going over his head. 100%. I fully understand that. But I want him to be doing more and I want him to be dragging us through games. I want him to be unlocking the door for us.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that from him yet. So, yeah, look, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Will he start Saturday?
I doubt it massively. It'll be
Billy's almost certainly going to come in, right?
Yeah, you'd think so. We'll get on to Hudson in a second. I totally agree. I think that will be the changes. But I did get battered on Twitter again for it. But a lot of people like and agreed with it. And a lot of people were saying if he's a confident-based player, get him on the ball and stuff. But I get the arguments completely. But I like to
chuck that argument back. He's a confidence-based player, but what? He's got one assist all season. So confident about what?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't get the fuss about him. I think he's a good player, but he's not a well-beater that people put him on that pedestal.
Here's another thing I'll chuck back at you, mate. I always question how we pick players up. Fleming's been an unbelievable find, but right, it sounded like Huddersfield had almost were snapping him up and that fell through. How has he not gone to another championship club? Our scouting network, and we talk about it all the time, isn't that good to be putting out this gem from Belgium?
Yeah.
So,
of course, yeah. You know, I'm not trying to fuel the fire or hate, but one tweet I did... So this is from Connor, who goes to a lot of games, I know, but he goes, Dunor reminds me of Nicky Bailey. Fat, balding, unfit. Mitchell twice the player. And that's just an opinion, but I found it quite funny to see as a whole, so I thought I'd read that on there. And I encourage people to obviously get in the comments and talk about what I've been saying and stuff. And again, to caveat, I'm not saying he's a shit player. I don't see it working here for him in the long term. And I don't know if he's the man that, you know, we should be pinning our hopes on, basically.
Still it with Cooper. If we got a decent bid in for Kasper, if we got our money back, even is reported to be, what, 2 million?
Yeah.
You paid, I mean, if we got anywhere near that, would you cash in?
I probably would. But again, that's a conversation for another day. I want him to succeed. I think he's a good player, but it's just, I don't see it. I don't see it for me all. I don't see him succeeding there. Some players are like that. And I'll put Sarkic in that same camp. But again, that's a topic for another day as well. Harris's post-match, I think he... he didn't come out and criticise the players, which obviously I know it's like Edwards was big on sometimes individual mistakes and stuff. And I know it's a buzzword that I tend to associate with Edwards. But it was interesting because obviously, like we said about after that game and stuff, like, the door was in there to get on the ball. First half, like, I always put the blame on the players on Monday. And I don't normally do that. Like, I always say that it stops with the manager, but I think he was frustrated with the players on Monday, Harris. Done well not to criticise them too much, but he criticised the defending for the two goals. I guess he must be really frustrated, obviously, because the situation leaves us in now, mate, where we're looking towards Huddersfield now, where we're 19th in the table, they're 22nd, and they're 4 points behind us, and it's suddenly now turned into a six-pointer, hasn't it? And it's, how have we got into that position after the weekend? It's ridiculous, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and I mean, as Harris said, you can't get away from the fact of us on Monday, if we played that game, probably 99 times out of 100, the chances we've created, we don't lose that game. There needs to be an element of that, but ultimately we didn't. It's obviously going to be frustrations. Could Bomber have done anything more? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. People criticise his subs. I don't know how you feel about that one. A lot of people say the timing of his subs are still questionable.
Yeah, and that's maybe. Obviously, it was 1-1, right? And he probably just saw at that point, we're in the ascendancy, we'd create all the chances at that point. They've kind of scored a flash in the pan goal because we had the chances before that. So he probably thought at 1-1, we're in this now, we're going to go on and get second. Then he could probably make different types of changes and shore it up a bit. So it's a tough one. It's reactionary, right? I think that it's tough to criticise his substitutions, I think, because as I say, at that time, we equalise, we're back in the game. I think, you just think we're going to go on and get seconds because we were dominating. And as I say, the subs then would have been different. He's obviously going to be extremely frustrated. As you say, it leaves us in a position now where it's a six-pointer, but actually, I think it's just that we can't lose. It's a game that we just need to... It's another game ticked off and it's another game where Huddersfield haven't made any ground on us. I don't want to sound negative with that, but we cannot lose the game. If it's 0-0, I'll be happy Saturday, genuinely. We can't lose the game.
Yeah, I got criticised, I think, for saying one of the pods prior to the weekend. I was like, this weekend for me, if you said to me 2 points, I'd take 2 points that weekend. Like, don't lose, just keep getting the points on the board. And I think that's the same thing going into Saturday.
Yeah, games off as well, mate. It's ticking their games on. That's what we got to see. Like, I don't want to think like that too much, but it's another game that Huddersfield can't gain any ground on us. That's the way we've got to look at Saturday.
Yeah, 100%. I think also something that Harris said after Monday in his interview that kind of stuck with me when I listened to it in the car on the way back. He said, listen, you get yourself back in the game, but the one thing you don't do is lose that game when you're in that position. Don't lose it because, you know, it's just done what it's done. But it could have been a 5-point gap. Okay, 4 or 5 points probably ain't that much difference because to win a draw, obviously if it's 2 wins, you know, we've got that win gap, haven't we? So worst case scenario, we can lose on Saturday. We're not going to go and over Huddersfield. But talk a bit about them, obviously. Like I said, they're 22nd in the table. They're winless in 6 games, Ben. So I know we love those scenarios. Yeah, I know, but I would love that as well. They're winless in 6. Their last win came at Watford, a 2-1 win on 24th of Feb. They've scored 44 goals this season as opposed to last 38. So they scored more goals than us. There you go. It's a kind of a damaged stat of last season. I feel like the lack of goals at the moment. And 65 against with our 53 against. So we've got the better defensive side, better goal difference, but they've obviously scored more than us. So yeah, we are the third joint lowest goal scorers in the division, matching with Stoke and obviously Stoke and terrible. This surprised me. Michael Hiddick is their top goal scorer, who's a defender on 9 goals. Didn't know that one. It kind of went under the radar a little bit for me, I think.
Did you know? No, I had no idea, mate, and probably tells you what sort of game it's going to be on Saturday.
Pieces.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he has scored those with a free kick take or something, but he's a centre half, right?
Yeah, I think so. That's why I didn't play back five when I was checking it on Flash Score. But again, take that with a pinch of salt. I can't claim to know a lot about Huddersfield, but I do know one player that I like is Jack Madonia. I think me and you have spoken about him in the past.
Yeah, it was actually, obviously I come down for the home game, didn't I? And he just, we tried to sign him, I believe, and he went up there for whatever reason. Obviously, ex-Avsy Wimbledon. Yeah, he's the sort of player. If they went down, I would be chucking money at him. He is the sort of player we need. Young, he's obviously a local boy, being from Wimbledon. Yeah, we've tried to sign him in the past. It might have been Harris era, actually, that we tried to sign him. I'd be all over trying to get him. I really would. I really like him. He kind of, I don't want to say ran the show when we played him, but he was a lot more, he had a lot more about his game than I thought. I've always seen him in the past. I thought he was quite sort of a forward player, wide player, but he sort of playing centre mid for them, and he was getting stuck in. I think he got booked in the home game, as in when we played him at home. And I would be chucking money at getting him if they went down. I really like him.
He strikes me as a Neil Harris type of player as well in midfield. He's quite tall, but he's getting gangly on the ball. Like you say, he's good on the ball as well. He can strikes me as like close control and stuff. He seems to be quite good at. And yeah, interesting. I totally agree with you there. I would throw the kitchen sink at him if they went down, because he scores goals as well. He's on fire this season. Sorba Thomas is also back in bold. I think he kind of missed a spear from the side. He's a set piece specialist for them as well. So back in your theory about set pieces, mate. He loves to whip them in from that side. So watch out for that one. And then, obviously another one that I like there is their goalkeeper, Nichols, who seems to have been there forever, but good little solid goalkeeper. Last time we won there was lockdown, a 1-0 win. I think that was the first game we saw Leonard at right centre half. It was in lockdown. I remember Thompson playing in midfield as well. Odd memory of that one, but yeah.
Who scored that day?
He might have done. I didn't actually check the goal score, to be honest, but I remember that game because it was January, pissing down with rain. We won 1-0.
I'm pretty sure Scott Malone scored.
Might have done. He might have done. And before that, with fans present, our last win was 2009, mate, up there. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a good hunting ground for us, is it? But I've been there a few times yet to see us win there. I remember leaving one day there fuming because we lost 1-0. And it was a set-piece goal, funny enough, mate. So, yeah, the omens.
Isn't it, Chamberlain?
Yeah. Go on. So, you finally scored that day?
In 2021.
I don't think it was mine that day. It might have been, actually. I've got an image of him running past the goal behind it afterwards, actually, in my head. But yeah, I mean,
Scott Malone did score. Yeah, 1-0 Scott Malone, 4th minute.
Those are the days, right? The heydays.
The dreamy days, yeah.
Mental, honestly. Right, so we mentioned it a bit earlier, obviously. Probably the law coming out for Mitchell, we feel like, and I agree with you on that one. What do you think the team's going to be on Saturday? Do you think it's going to be much of the same? I mean, I guess Murray Willis, maybe, if it's Whiplash, I guess he probably sits out Saturday. So Danny Mack at left back. What do you reckon, mate?
I don't mind criticising Danny, but yeah, again, I think he's done really well since Bong has come back in. He's playing out of position.
Yeah.
And yeah, he did well Monday for me. So yeah, I'd probably just, as we probably started the second half with Danny at left back, and I'm just bringing Billy, and I think that would be the only change you probably can make. It was interesting. Interesting that Honeyman come off. Is there anything there? Is he just?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because we're chasing the game. Yeah, I think it was chasing the game. I mean, obviously, Mayer came on and done a right on the left hand side. I don't know if that's an argument there to have him instead of Watmore. Though we think about that, Russ.
Yeah, really good finish against West Brom. He's too flash in the pan for me.
Probably the grafter, though, down the left-hand side. That's the only thing you're going to get with him, which Harris will turn to, I suppose, right? He does grafter, but he's not running.
Could be an argument. Is Joe Bryan back?
I think it was a couple-week injury, they said, so I don't think so. So
you could push Honeyman wide left and put Brooke further up the pitch. Mate, I was thinking that, but it doesn't sound like that's going to be possible now. Probably too much changing going into the game Saturday if you did that anyway. So you don't know what you're going to get with Watmore, do you? It's all going to be about this week and his recovery. You know he's made of glass. Did he do it today?
He was blowing, wasn't he, for the second half of the one, mate? Could have come up early.
That's my point. So yeah, that's where you're going to be your only other possible change. Mate, I'm just touching on, mate. I know he did decide. I'd like to see him a little bit more. It'd be interesting to see if we do get to a point of being safe, whether that is one of the younger players that Harris looks at. I like what I've seen in him. Obviously, came on against Coventry. way back when Edwards is in. I thought he did all right then. He seems like a direct player. He seems like he wants to get on his left foot and gets balls in the box, which is going to suit the way we want to play. So, yeah, I like the look of him. I'm hoping whether it's the back end of this year or certainly into next year, we start to see more of him.
I agree with you completely. I mean, like I said, he did take him on a couple of times. I felt like I was kicking every ball that second half on Saturday.
Yeah,
I was drenched in sweat. I think I was like fucking like, you know, giving every single bit of it. Like, it's a situation we're in, isn't it? I think that's what the fear is. We're in a position where it's like do or die at the moment, isn't it? And it's like that was so torn on that, but it's done now. It's done. But I mean, one other change I'll throw to you, mate. What the idea of Hutch coming back into Cooper?
Yeah, we discussed that in the group, didn't we? I think my only concern with that would be Hutch hasn't played any football since January.
Yeah.
It's such an important game of the season. If there's any sort of rustiness, would you want to chance him in that game? Look, Hutch, is a very, very experienced player. I have no doubt about the occasion. It's more just from a fitness point of view.
Yeah.
And what are you saying? Did you say drop Coops?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, listen, Coops might have a game of his life on Saturday and I'll eat humble pie happily. Do you know what I mean? But I just wonder, like, would the idea of Tanganga and Hutch at the back, maybe it's less physicality there, though, if you're thinking, you know, set pieces and stuff. But just for throwing into the mix, I think your argument to that, we should let in the chat the other day as well, obviously, about his fitness and stuff. But he'd done the same thing over Christmas. He came in against Norwich, played a good game, and played against Bristol City, scored the winner. Then got injured again, which is his problem. That's the fear, isn't it, with Hutch? So, I don't know.
Just looking at Hutch on a bigger picture, do you think he hasn't come in just because we've done quite well defensively since Harris has come in? Or do you think, again, like we're just saying, is it natural progression? Is he out of contract in the summer? I think he is, isn't he, Hutch?
Yeah.
Do you think we're the last we see of him?
I believe so. You're right to pick up the squad, obviously, in the state of it, because obviously Bradshaw's out of contract, Hutch's out of contract, Saville's out of contract, Leonard's out of contract.
I think on recent lives that some, it was in Saville, Bradders, one of them has got a contract extension. I think it was Bradders that's gone under the radar that we don't seem to have heard about. I think he had a contract extension. But yeah, to your point, mate, there's going to be a lot of turnover. There's a lot of players out of contract.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, come on then. So we don't think too many changes. What do you think the score could have been on Saturday, mate?
Mate, I'm quite positive with these. I'm just going to say I would take a 0-0 draw. I would honestly take a 0-0 and just... Well, yeah. Trouble is then, I look at the games after and you go, we've got Leicester Tuesday. So
that's it. So the fixtures after the weekend. So Huddersfield Saturday, Leicester at home Tuesday, Cardiff at home Saturday, Sunderland away, Plymouth at home, Swansea away. I mean, obviously, pre-game on Monday, we was all at the ground and saying, look, a win and a draw, or even just a win, does it? And that doesn't change, I suppose. I know it's obviously like contextual. You think, shit, we're getting pulled back into it now, mate. But we are 44 points, you know, like, and
yeah,
it's like, I don't think that it changes. It's the panic sets in after you lose a game like, oh, shit, we're 4 points behind Huddersfield. We're playing on the weekend. But I don't think it changes too much. I think a win and a draw does it. And I can see us getting that in there. Obviously, Cardiff at home next Saturday is probably a massive one. Plymouth at home the week after, 2 weeks after, you know. And even Sunderland, they got done 4-1 by Blackburn, didn't they? So, you know, tough places to go, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I think a win at home in them three games we've got coming up and Nick and Shiao's draw somewhere. I agree with you with your prediction for Saturday. I'll take a 0-0, no shots on goal, dog shit. I'll sit there happily and clap it at the end because I think that's a big point. Don't let them catch us. Do you know what I mean? So I agree.
Whilst if we win, we're probably safe. I would probably argue that as well because it will create a bigger gap between us and them. So it's very, look, it's two ways of looking at it. I'm probably just, well, we're both probably just looking at it from a very Millwall perspective and saying it's a must not lose, right? You look
what at Harris will be like. Ashley Harris was out. Do you think the same thing?
Well, I think there'd probably be an element of, if we play like we did Monday, he'll probably say we'll win the game comfortably. So I don't think he'll be too much. It'll be too much different, mate. He'll probably say, look, let's keep it tight first 45 and we'll create something. And this time we'll score. So I don't see it being too dissimilar. I don't know how Huddersfield will play. I think we knew with Rotherham, they're not a good footballing side. So we knew it was going to be direct and scrappy and, yeah, not the most fluent of games. I don't know how Huddersfield will be, whether it will be any bit more open or a bit more free-flowing. So, yeah, I think the message from him will be very similar. Just touching on the other teams around us and who they've got. Brum have got Leicester, so you'd expect them to probably get beat. Rotherham played for Plymouth tomorrow.
So, Friday night then.
Yeah, still a Friday night game. So, I mean, you look at that and you could again go, if Rotherham could do us a fucking massive favour, I'll take everything back I said about it during and after the game.
Yeah.
A draw, take a draw there. But yeah, if Rotherham could just hang on for another week and nick a win, you're kind of going into the game Saturday with it again, not a free hit, but you've again got another team then below us that haven't won. Stoke have got West Brom, tough game. Blackburn have got Saints. So it's an opportunity for us again to create a bit of a gap, get us up the league, get more teams between us and the bottom three. So still being pessimistic, mate. I'm saying 0-0 draw and I'll take it.
Yeah, Rotherham have also got Birmingham in a few weeks' time as well. So Rotherham could be linchpin star season here, mate. I could just see them losing to both them games, beating us. And yeah, then we somehow get sucked back into it, mate. Fuck.
They haven't, mate. So
they have.
Major bounce. So yeah, 3-0 Plymouth incoming tomorrow, right?
Oh, mate. Right, so we're going to both set for a 0-0 draw. We're both going. So.
No, go on. I'll say if we play like we did Monday, we create as many chances as we did Monday, we'll win 2-0.
I want to ask the Barry. I want to back Cooper to score on Saturday then.
We've sold him, released him, written him off, and now he's going to score the winner for us Saturday.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. But that's football, isn't it, mate? That's what Mill does to you. That's what it is on Monday. You're sitting there fuming, driving home, and it's probably a Debbie Downer all week. But nonetheless, tickets bought for Saturday and we're going again, mate. It's what we do, right?
Mine came through the front door earlier, mate. So yeah, it's arrived. Oh. I was hoping the postman might have forgot it. But you know, I will be there. We will be there. Fuck it. Let's look forward to it. And let's, as Harris has said in a couple of his interviews, most importantly, the one today about the anniversary of the FA Cup, wasn't a game that we were scared about. If we go into it with that attitude, and hopefully Harris drills that into him, it's a game to rise up to and look, get us out of the relegation scrap. I do think if we win Saturday, I think we're probably out of it personally again, because you're just looking at teams below us need to win too many games. So yeah, hopefully Harris instills that into the side. It's a game to rise up to the challenge, not shy away from, and hopefully put a decent performance in for the 500 odd, which is rumoured to be all what we've sold for Saturday.
Saturday, mate. Rolled on. Thanks for joining me, mate. Appreciate it.
Really enjoyed that, mate, as ever.
Cool. Right. If you're new around here, be sure to subscribe and like the video. And as I mentioned halfway through the show, if you've got anything to say about mine and Ben's opinions and you want to have a debate of it, we're more than happy to get in the comments and talk about it. And we'll be also having a Friday Night Live tomorrow. So if you want to get interactive on the comments, be sure to do that. So anyway, guys, thanks for watching and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye-bye. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.